I guess the cars outside didn't hear me when I said I wanted a bit of silence. See, listening to that honking.
It's like a Pixar movie out there.
There's Lightning McQueen. All right. Oh, you know what?
Should it be on the air?
No. I just got the fact that it was a reference to Steve McQueen.
Yep.
Now.
Good. Okay, that would have been better on the air.
Let's start the show.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
And you might be going, guys, week after week, you promise us guests. Where are those guests? Well, they have not shown up yet.
That's right.
Because they, as often happens...
Your guest is as good as ours.
Nice.
Yes.
It's wordplay. That's how we're starting. Because here's the thing.
Because I never do that.
We've got... No, Dave was told as a child, do not play with your words, Dave.
Yeah, don't play
just
with your
words. Just finish your words.
Mm-hmm. And I would sit at the table...
With your sentences.
Just playing with my words on the plate. I would just move them around.
Yeah.
And sit there, oh, so for
just
so long.
Just pushing them around till your
get
words
all cold.
Were cold.
The
yeah, that's
cold.
Right. Yeah. 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 Someone would get on the floor and the dog would eat them. And now the dog can talk because he's got words in his mouth. They say, stop putting words in that dog's mouth. So on. Anyway, here's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We have Vicky Van and Pia Guerra on the show today. Now.
Oh, well, let's see.
They're both what you call a get.
A get.
But yeah. Also, as most of our guests, we're related to
I would
them in
say
some
they're,
way.
They're also what I would call a gone.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Pia
I was going to say a git, but then I thought
that's
actually
mean.
An insult. Yeah,
that would be
that's
mean.
Right.
Or just, gat would be
I just
gun.
Meant that they had get up and didn't make any
Maybe
sense.
Maybe you should have played with your words a bit more as a kid.
I should have learned a few idioms.
Yep.
Before I sounded like an idiot.
Yeah, there you go. Both. Everything's great. The pipe we're trying to lay here, and frankly, they're just going to show up while we're doing this nonsense.
Yeah.
Is as Pia's being interviewed by the CBC tonight for something, and we'll reveal what that is a little later on when they show up. But first of all, before the show, Dave and I were talking about how this is episode 270.
Yes.
And how it feels much larger than 269, even though it's one different.
Yeah.
69, 70. We all enjoyed the 69 joke, but we did that last week.
I'm not gonna do it
you
again.
Know, we don't have to enjoy it one more time.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm still laughing at it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, enjoy yourself in 100 episodes as well.
Yeah,
you
will.
Treat yourself every 100 episodes.
I will.
But you mentioned, oh, I'm going through something right now, and that reminds me of it. And
oh,
Dave,
yeah.
It's not very often where you have a full concept that you want to deliver to the nice people. So I'm going to set you up for this and
okay.
go like, everybody, here's Dave's concept.
Yeah, I can't remember what I was going to talk about.
Son of a fuck! Come on!
Actually, what I was thinking
Oh, by
about,
the way, we yeah. have some coarse language in this show.
That's right. It is there is an explicit
Expletives.
Rating? Expletive rating.
We are not good with the words.
What?
It is lucky we have two what? Other people coming in very
it's
soon.
Lucky. And we're only... And speaking of 270 episodes, we've done 270 episodes and we're this good. Can you imagine what
yeah.
the first one sounded like?
Yeah. Crisp as a winter's night.
Crisp as a winter's night. What I was thinking about was I was actually, while I was at work yesterday, I was walking along and I was thinking to myself, it's February.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
Happy Groundhog's Day.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that's right. It's Groundhog's Day today.
It's also Harold Ramis Missing Day. It's the day we miss Harold
mm-hmm.
Ramis.
Mm-hmm. And also, it's my birthday month.
Mm.
So my birthday's coming up. And, you know, turning 50.
Oh, because Dave, you might not know, Dave is Black History.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm all about it. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, and so I'm 50.
Yeah.
And I'm turning 51. And actually 51
sounds lots of fun.
Feel rhymes with that, but it feels more like a step into being 50 than 50 did.
Oh, okay.
Which is strange, I know.
It feels like you're starting with the low numbers though now, and now you can relax again. That's what I think. Like when you turn 30, you
yeah.
go like, "Oh no, but 31, nah, you're fine." Right? Like,
I know, and it doesn't,
41. Eh, it's okay.
It doesn't make sense, because, you know, there's the classic thing where people go, 2000, it's a millennium, and then there's someone, the Mr. No Fun in the corner, i.e. me, going, actually, it's 2001 is the beginning of the next decade.
Yeah.
Because there was no year zero, but there is a zero for us.
Yeah, and
we have
you're
our,
year explaining.
We have our month to 12-month time before
True.
We actually turn a year. So we actually are literally a year old when we turn a year old. And so it should count as, you know, I've turned 50. I am 50 years old. But what's weird to me is it feels like 51 is like a definite step in the wrong direction into 51, into mm-hmm. like I'm carrying on up there. Whereas 50, I could kind of lie to myself that I'm still close to 49. And
how old is Tom Cruise now?
Tom Cruise is 74.
There you go. No, I think he's about our age, and that's fine.
He's
and
a little older than us.
He's still climbing up a pole, you know, yeah. using just his gosh. Leg. You know, so it's like, I look at that and I go, mm-hmm. there's the people that I admire doing things, they're still our age.
Yeah,
I'm still fine with that.
Yeah, no, it's incredible what he can do. At the same time, a very weird chest. When he takes his shirt off, I never feel very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because he has an odd physique. Like, it's odd.
I just watched the new Jack Reacher. Not enough nut punching.
Not enough nut... Why? Is there a lot of nut punching in Jack Reacher books?
In the first Jack Reacher film, though, yeah. that was his signature move, was punch to the
punch
nuts.
To the nuts.
And he went like, you know what?
Yeah.
Yes. If that's you want to bring someone down fast,
yeah.
that's your move. That's, every you know, and now yeah. now we're dealing with it. You know, why would you do the punch to the face?
That's terrible. The essence. That's the essence of Reacher.
Mm-hmm.
Is just brutality and sleeping with women. And not having any money.
And telling people that pocket. The phone's going to ring really soon.
That's right.
Hey, that phone will ring, and then guess what's going to happen? You'll be the one in these cuffs. And, you know, if you say that in the right way, that's sexy.
If you say it in any way, why wouldn't the person who you're telling the phone just shoot you? Why is he going to wait?
Well,
I don't understand why people...
No, there's a good reason
I'm going to put myself in danger.
Wait, no.
Yeah.
This is the first scene in the movie, so
yeah.
and it's also in the trailer.
Yeah.
He can't shoot him.
Why not?
Because there's a bunch of cops outside. Like, they can't.
He is a cop.
Yeah, I know. But they
I don't
just
know if you've heard.
In. I know, but they just walked in and saw the guy sitting on the counter with no weapons.
Yeah.
And you can't just go in and
he
shoot
He came at me.
He came at you.
Everyone, we saw that, right? He came at me.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Case closed.
Everyone's got that bit of curiosity. Otherwise, no one would lift up the phone and answer the Ring Girl's
call. It's true. You're right. Oh, the Ring Girl's call either, yeah.
Who's back?
Is she back for Ring 3?
It's Rings, I think it's called.
Oh, Rings.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, now I may be wrong about this, because this might just be a straight Rings sequel. Boy, words are hard. Anyway, she's a viral video now.
Oh.
That is a real thing. Yeah,
on YouTube.
So
or
you can look at her up on a plane, and apparently someone does, and some stuff happens. but there's another one where she and that kid from The Grudge.
Mm.
They get into it.
They
get into
up.
A fight.
It's a grudge match.
Yep. They mm-hmm. get a little ring match.
Oh,
a grudge match.
It's a grudge match in the ring. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it all works. What a wonderful thing that is. Thank you.
Whatever.
Movies. But yeah, they fight and like some people get caught in the middle of it all.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is?
Yep.
That sounds dumb. that's like bargain basement Alien versus Predator. Which at least had Alien versus Predator in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you were like, well, at least there's like two interesting things fighting each other. But what is this? A couple of girls, faces you can't see, having a
the guy that a little kid who goes meow, that kid,
is he in it too with in the underwear?
I would assume so.
Oh, that's very very odd.
I assume a different kid, like you
no, it's gonna be the same guy, but he's 20 years old now, he's just standing there in
Ooh,
his underwear.
That is even creepier.
Meow.
There's a game I was playing which you should play, because
okay.
I don't want to play it because it's too scary, but I was playing Resident Evil 7.
Okay.
And we were playing it, and it all takes mm-hmm. place in a house,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, some things happen. But, like, we got to a scene in the attic where you go in the attic,
oh.
and they do a couple of things.
Yeah.
And I was in the room with Vicky, and I was in the room with Pia, and I just turned to them and just went, nope. And they went, yep, agreed. Yep, nope, we're good.
Really?
Turn it off. We're
that's
good.
Interesting.
Nope, that's good.
That's interesting.
But then I found out, I believe that the game is also available in VR. And we went, well, throw your hands up. You would just die. You would just die. You would die. You couldn't take this game. No one could take this game.
Is that right? That's interesting.
But we went like, we should let Dave play it. Dave would like this game, maybe.
Yeah.
Because Dave likes scary things.
I do like
scary things. And then we could like just like stand by the door and like look in while you play.
Yeah, I do like scary things. And I thought The Ring, the American version of The Ring, was a very scary film. I didn't find the Japanese, I didn't find Ringu as scary as Ring, The Ring. And I think, I don't know, I thought that Gore Verbinski, who has done, what other films has he done besides Pirates of the Caribbean?
Oh boy.
He's done a lot of those. He did The Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
It feels like what happened to him, but...
he did The Lone Ranger.
That's what happened to him.
Yeah, and is he not doing the new one?
Is there doing another Lone Ranger film?
No. They're doing another Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Oh, yeah, I imagine so.
Okay.
It's like a regular paycheck. But I don't really know what else he's done. Like, what he did before he did The Ring, I don't know.
Well, let me tell you. He's got a... By the way, everybody,
yep.
if you want to guess what the siren is, we always encourage that. But they've driven the other way, so forget that. He's got a new movie coming out.
You can still take a drink. You hear
Fair
a
enough.
Siren, take a drink.
A Cure for Wellness.
Yes, that's right.
With all the electric eels. Rango. He did Rango.
Yeah, he did Rango. That's right.
A lot of Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm. He did The Weatherman, the Nick Cage movie.
Okay.
And that's all the movies he's ever done at the end. No, he's probably done other ones, but they're not listed here.
They do list The Ring, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we've already gone over that one, so
yeah, yeah, no,
I didn't feel there
I
was just, a need to say the
no, no,
movie that
I
we've just been talking about for
I just wondered
minutes.
How complete the list was if they had left that off. I was like, well, this is very suspicious.
By the way, the girls have just said they're on their way.
Oh.
And I can say they're girls because we are family members, so it is okay. And they know I respect them both.
All right.
So okay. You're turning 51. I'm going to be turning 50 in June.
Yeah.
It's a big rollover. I am 5 years away. You are 4 years away from the Denny's Seniors Menu.
Not tempting.
Not tempting at all.
Not tempting at all.
Also,
to me.
When did that happen? When did the seniors situation turn to 55?
Well, because really, it's more, it's a promotional thing more rather than it's a kindness thing. Like they're not trying to like be kind to you. They're just trying to get your business.
So it's not a pity thing.
No, it's not pity. I mean, 55 for your discount at Valley Village as well.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about the bus?
The bus, they don't care.
The bus, they don't care. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And let me throw out a little complaint right now to people who ride the bus.
Okay.
All right.
Wait, is this on behalf of people who ride the bus or at people who ride the bus?
This is a segment called Ian Talks to Old People.
Okay.
All right. This is not for people who are seniors and they're 55. This is for older people who have canes, who are fragile, who are having trouble walking.
Can I do the theme song for this?
Sure. Yeah, it sounded like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I'm sorry.
All right. So here's what I've got to say.
I did steal the tune.
To you folks. First of all, there are seats up front. You can see them. Sit in them.
Are you talking about the bench?
I'm talking the bench, and I'm talking all the seats that are there that are designated for seniors and people who are in need.
Yeah.
Don't get cocky and walk past those ones.
Yeah.
Sit there, because that's where you should sit.
Yeah.
Okay. That's thing one.
Because they're walking down the aisle.
Okay. Well,
and they're a little teetery.
Beyond that, here's
the bus starts to go, right?
Here's the fucking problem. Yeah, one, yes, that.
Yeah.
The bus is going to drive, and then you look shocked when the bus is, it's like, yeah, you've been on a bus. I mean, assume being elderly, you've been on a bus hundreds of times. You know how this works.
If not thousands.
Yeah, that's why they're up front. Mm-hmm. Sit fucking down
and
be safe. And
you were on the interurban, and you've been on the bus. You're well familiar with all kinds of different transit.
Yeah. You've been on the bus when people yelled, "Get a horse!" Okay, so
you've been
so
on our trolley
that.
System.
So
you've
you're
been,
walking,
yeah.
But if you decide I want to sit in the back for some damn reason,
well, it's the only. To be fair, it's the only place you can read on the bus now.
Good, good. You can read in the bus in the back. That's fine. Yeah. Fine. It's the lights. If you're gonna do that, hold on to the poles.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Don't just walk freestyle. Hope down the. Don't, because like at least twice a month, I catch a person.
Oh wow.
I just catch a person that's fucking falling. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, how do I, like, goddammit.
That explains your cone
situation.
3 points
of contact at all times, everybody.
Yeah,
3 pole. The poles
three
are there.
3 points of contact?
Yeah, you should have 3 points of contact at all times.
So feet on the floor.
Yeah.
Hand on a pole.
That's right.
Okay.
Then other hand on the pole. You can move
that's
another
4 points.
Foot now.
That's four. Oh, let's see. You take one hand off.
Yeah, if you want to have 4 points of contact, knock yourself out for a while.
Sure.
But make sure you have at least 3 points of contact, because 2 points of contact, the bus starts going, you're going sideways, I'm going to have to catch you.
I've always objected to the people with 5 points of contact.
Well, keep your pants on is what I say. Anyway, that has happened so often lately.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it's about twice a month that I catch someone, literally catch someone. Mm-hmm. But all the other times I'm like looking up going, come on, what are you doing? You know how this works.
Yeah.
Don't be death by bus. This is terrible. And you're going to go flying into someone.
It would be good as if they were like came careening down the aisle and then the bus driver just opened the door and they just went outside. The door's closed and then he drives off.
Yeah.
Again.
And he goes, not my jurisdiction.
Once they're outside. Yeah,
not my jurisdiction.
Nothing to do with me. Nothing
Absolutely.
To do with me. Yeah, it's easier to deal with.
All right, we're going to have to do what we always do now.
Wait, can I tell you
how your sleeping leg wound is? Because we got to find that out first. How's your sleeping leg wound?
Sleeping leg wound is all healed up.
Okay, good.
It's all healed up, everyone. Do not worry. I did not get jaundice.
Okay.
Or ptomaine poisoning, whatever else you get from what else you get from it?
From Adrian Ptomaine?
From Adrian Ptomaine, yeah, the cartoonist. Man, that's obscure. You say I make some obscure jokes.
He gets on the cover of the New York New Yorker every so often.
He's on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
All right.
Yeah.
He is not on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Go ahead. What am I doing?
Well,
I was going to tell you a little story.
It wasn't a bit.
I was just going to tell.
This. I'm going to open the door because the girls are going to come soon.
Okay. When I was younger, when I used to take the bus a lot, we were driving along through Vancouver, and the bus driver was driving along, and someone opened their car door, and he just took their door off, just drove right through it. So then he had to pull over.
Do you know what that's called in the insurance game? What they call that?
What do they call it?
Door prize.
Really?
When someone knocks a door off a car,
yeah,
that's called a door prize.
Because
you get money for it. That's your door prize.
Is it serious?
Yeah.
I don't. Well, okay. So then the bus driver.
And when a steward is walking down the aisle of of an airplane and they fart, that's called crop dusting.
No.
Yep, that's what they call it. When they do a silent fart and they're going down, they call it crop dusting.
Huh. I never thought about them doing that, but it does explain a lot. I don't like sitting near the bathroom. And yet, yeah, so then he had to pull the bus over, and then I had to make like a statement. I had to make a statement of, I was never contacted to confirm the statement, but, and plus I was.
Your statement was about who you thought the fifth Beatle was.
My statement was, I was reading a book in the back of the bus, and I didn't see what happened. It was nighttime. You don't know what's going on in a bus. Like, that's the great thing about a bus at night, is you don't know what's going on.
Also, you know, as we've talked about on the show with Nina Matsumoto.
Yes.
Snitches get stitches.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, mind your own fucking business.
Although someone at work, I said that the other day at work. I said, snitches get stitches. Someone said, oh, Dave, you're so of your generation. As if that's not like a recurring, like today, like, so is our younger generations, are they okay with people like tattletaling? Like,
yes, to me, I think they are.
Actually. Oh, is that right?
I think the word is like, if you see something, say something. I think that's a little different now. Yeah, probably. Oh,
that's weird. That's weird. Because, you know, like, I don't want to tell tales. I don't want to tattletale.
And yet.
But at work.
Let me get your stool, Mr.
A little
Pigeon.
While ago. I'm not going to say any names. But at work a little while ago, someone made a mistake on an order.
Ugh, idiot.
Someone caught it.
Good for them.
Said, hey, don't worry. I gotcha. It's okay. Immediately went and told the warehouse manager what had happened. Like, to me, that's a snitch. Of course you should, if you see something bad happening.
That's a star-bellied
snitch. Yeah, if you see something bad happening, of course you should tell someone. That makes sense to me.
Right.
The idea that we are supposed to, like, keep everything secret from each other and horrible things happen because no one will talk.
Yeah.
Yes, that's bad. But the idea that you just go and stab someone in the back, like, and be a big tattletale.
So what happens then, like, the boss goes, good for you, Henderson.
Pretty much.
You're on my good list.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it does it work in his favor or not. I'm
I don't
not
think
sure.
It does.
Well, it's certain. I don't think it makes you look good to anyone else.
No,
everyone. Because obviously, he immediately told
unless
the other person.
Unless you're like a kiss up in a 1950s movie or something, and you're that smug guy in a little suit with a thin tie,
Or a bow tie.
And that guy who gets his comeuppance in the end.
Yes, with his pince-nez, with his little glasses. And
yeah,
stuff.
We all see him. You immediately got him in your head, right? We know what he looks like. Yeah. We could both take a piece of paper and draw the guy. He would look exactly alike. Yeah. Turn the pages.
All of us feel the same way, which is fuck that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck him.
But he's not happy.
But at the same time, yeah, I think that's part of it. It's very insecure. The need to, like, have other people go down in other people's estimation.
My sister, who's 2 years younger than me, loved ratting me out.
Hello!
Oh, she loved ratting me out so much.
Your sister?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There's nothing she liked more than telling tales about me. Hello.
Are you recording?
Yes, yeah, we are. We're in the middle of the show. But
yeah,
we should
be here 2 seconds.
Okay. Should we take a break, do a sound check, and come back, or should we play it straight and loose? What do you think?
I think it'd be okay.
All right.
If it's too terrible, I'll just cut things out.
Okay, but we never cut anything.
Well, I'm a liar.
Okay, very good.
Don't tell tales on
me, sir. Welcome to the show. She is a filmmaker. She is also a...
just one second. This mic is crazily...
Yeah, the mic is crazy. But I can still do my intro while this goes
on. Yep, go on.
Make a lot of noise. She's a filmmaker. You can see her stuff on YouTube. We have done stuff together. She is also... You will see her on film sets around town. Bossing people around. Wow. Going, hey, the Flash is shooting here. Hey. Back off.
Yeah.
Back off.
More like, can you please... No, can you... No. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Canadian passive aggressive type. Vicky Van is here. Yay! Hi. She's been on the show before.
Just
look
parked
it up.
The car. Just parked the car.
Yeah, you parked the car.
Parked car, right?
Oh, that's good.
We were at the CBC. No, came here. Parked car.
So you did an interview at the CBC.
Pia did.
So she had to do it first in English and then in French, as is our law.
That's right. Then in German.
Oui, oui.
I don't know why the German thing.
And like all interviews on the CBC, it was about the weather. And I'm pointing. I'm pointing to Vicky that she has got a Coke Zero.
Ooh,
that's
nice.
Right.
Doesn't you're trying to make it? That was her.
Refreshing.
Oh, here she is.
And
we're recording.
Also coming to the microphone now. You might know her from the internet. She's been all over it lately. She's also a cartoonist who's done Black Canary, White Canary, all the various canaries.
What about Yellow Canary?
No. Oh, that was a racial character that they have not had in many, many years.
Okay, I'm sorry about that up, everyone.
He also did Why the Last Man. Yeah. Probably going to be a TV show soon. Yeah. Anyway, she's also married to me. It's Pia Guerra. Yay!
Hello.
There we go. Hi. Okay, so everyone's sound levels are screwed forever, probably.
That's all right.
We apologize to anyone listening. We're going to try and talk
Our
loudest and whatever.
Clearest.
Clearest. Clear. Okay, so you were at the CBC.
Yes.
If you can't talk properly right now because you've talked too much at the CBC,
yeah.
We can have Vicky say what you were doing at the CBC.
Sure.
Vicky, what was she doing at the CBC?
What's the show called? West Coast?
On the Coast.
On the Coast is a CBC show that's, is it daily or, I think it's daily.
I guess so.
It's a TV show, right?
No, radio.
Oh, radio. Oh, okay.
And they were just doing a little story about Pia's tweet, the Twitter, viral Twitter tweet storm.
Okay, yeah, well, let's describe. Do you want to describe?
Let's lay this pipe down.
Yeah,
okay.
We're laying more pipes.
So,
So
Pia is an artist. She's known for her comic book work. Look it up. We're not going to Google it for you. And every day she's been doing at least one or two cartoons. And one of them, which was a drawing of Donald Trump, a little Donald Trump on Steve Bannon's lap. And Steve Bannon going, "Who's a big boy?" And then Donald Trump, "I'm a big boy." That caught fire.
Yeah.
That caught fire so hot. Now, let me just say.
It's interesting because.
I just want to brag.
Okay, you brag.
First, I'm bragging.
Yeah. Okay.
I was the first retweet. Pia said to me, "Should I post this?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Yes."
Okay.
"Let me know when it's up because I want to be the first retweet." Okay. I retweeted it. Well, lordy, lordy.
Well, here,
tens of thousands later.
See, we went to dinner. We were in the car as well.
That's right.
For her to go. She was like, "Should I retweet this?" Yes, tweet it. And then come to the car because we're going to go out for dinner. We're waiting outside in the car. And they went for dinner and it started getting retweets. And we're like, "Oh, I'll probably hit like 100 before
midnight, maybe."
Before midnight.
Yeah.
And then before the food came, it had hit like 200. And they were like, "Oh, maybe like
slow service
500 before."
And normally these get about 40, 50, maybe 100 retweets, that kind of thing.
Were you guys eating that White Spot?
No.
We went to Ricky's.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was just trying to figure out the timeline between when you ordered, when you got your food.
No. And then by the next day, it had exploded and it was everywhere.
Yeah.
And you had people like Peter Serafinowicz retweeting it. You had Ewan McGregor retweeting it, which to me was great because then you had both Darth Maul and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yep. Yeah.
So you had both the light side and the dark side of the Force retweeting it. Up to the point where it then got on the Daily Beast. That went crazy.
I read that article.
And then it ended up on Good Morning America.
Wow.
Where George Stephanopoulos talked about it for a way long time with Pia's picture up because they showed the webpage.
Wow.
And so it's like all of her stuff was there.
So can I let's just back it up a little bit.
No, here. Let's go forward.
Let's back up the
always forward.
Back up the train a little bit.
And always dignity.
Pia, this is not the first Trump one you've done, too.
No.
You've been doing like a whole series of them for the last little while.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is
the first one that really caught fire.
This is the first one, and it's interesting, isn't it,
what people resonate with.
Yeah, what resonated with people, because you've done some other really great ones. The Liar Liar Pants on Fire one, the one where he's standing in his office, admiring himself, like he's kind of...
Yeah, it's like he's looking in a mirror, and I found a picture of him that was just really haunting and empty.
Yeah.
And so I went, "Oh yeah, this is it." And so I had a minimum of that... face in a mirror and just a word balloon saying sad.
Yeah.
And it's like, that must be how what his life is like. That's what I try to go for. To go for like the ego kill. Just go in deep and hard and twist it.
Yeah.
And,
there was this, one with
this obviously
one with him getting the spray tan.
Yeah, the spray tan.
That was a few months ago.
Yeah.
That never hit really.
But this one seems to, it kind of caught on in two ways. One is that obviously it speaks to how we feel about his relationship with his staff.
Yeah.
But also it feeds into this President Bannon thing where people want to kind of accentuate this because obviously it's really going to bother Trump, the idea that we're just assuming
that... He's not the big
he's not the brain of the Hydra here. He's just whatever.
He can't be. I mean, you look at him talk. Listen to what he says. He can't form a fully functional sentence. There's no elegance to what he says. There can't be any plan. I mean, and you see more and more evidence of this every day.
Mm-hmm.
During the campaign, he was talking about, how he has a plan for ISIS. He's got the plan. He knows exactly, but he's not going to tell anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, whatever, you don't have a plan. And I do. And then we hear 2 days ago, he's like ordered everyone at the Pentagon to come up with a plan.
Yeah.
So, yes, he's a friggin' liar. And And it just, I think we're only just starting to really, really hit it. It's hitting home now.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the cartoons are about. It's like, can we point out how crazy this is? Mm-hmm. You're not alone in this. Yeah. We're all on the same page. It's all bad.
Yeah.
And you don't think, like, if you had a picture of, I don't know, any other politician, like a Trudeau or an Obama or what have you, and you did a political cartoon about him, you wouldn't feel like it would hit him hard. But you get kind of a feeling when do this.
Oh, yeah, because that's exactly it.
That's what Strombolopoulos said about it. You know, it was just like, oh, this is going to annoy him. Yeah. And then there was a long pause while everyone took a big nod. And it was like, oh, okay, so this cartoon is going to hit him deep.
Okay, so we keep talking about that, but I just want to, when I last looked on Twitter, and maybe this is a couple of days ago, it was like at 33,000, over 33,000 retweets. It's 40K now?
That's
wow.
Likes, but
wow.
Like, it's about 27,000 retweets.
Yeah. So,
but it's also on Instagram. Which
And it's also on Facebook. So it's being super.
Somebody took the image and delinked it from her Twitter account. Oh. So it went to Instagram and then it went back to Twitter. Ewan McGregor tweeted the image, but there was no link to her.
Okay.
And so there's all, like, it's gone past the Twitter, like, you can't keep track of it now because they've pulled the image away from the counter.
Mm-hmm.
So it way more than, like, and then it went back to Twitter and Peter Serafinowicz. I was going down my feed and I follow Peter Serafinowicz and he's like, oh, who drew this? And it was like, oh, that's my sister. But he's just like, because it had no accreditation link. And it was great because the whole feed was like, that's Peter. You should, that's her.
Well, that was a thing. First of all, I'll say Nick Offerman also.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, Nick Offerman. That was pretty cool. That was the best.
Nick Offerman what?
He retweeted it going like, oh, I found this picture, you know, and I was like, he was acting like it was a picture and he was playing it that way, but not knowing who, you know, took it or whatever. And again, I plugged it. But the Daily Beast article, this was the thing that everyone jumped on was, so they had the picture there and then he went by a little known artist, Pia Guerra,
didn't even mention my name.
Yeah, I didn't mention the name.
My name was on the actual, you know, like
on the photo, but
on
not
the photo
in
credit,
the...
but not in the actual body of the article.
Yeah.
It didn't mention. Wow. Okay. Let me just backtrack on that and go like, if the person was, say, a little-known artist, why would you ever say they're a little-known artist? Who doesn't act in many movies, Steve, you know, it's like you would never say that.
They wanted to highlight this, how it's caught on, you know, so they're saying like, you know.
The power of Twitter.
The power of Twitter, you know, you're someone that, yes, you have a big fan base, but outside of your fans, like in terms of political cartooning or the political world itself, like, you know, it's unlikely that George Stephanopoulos, for instance, has heard of you before this image, right?
No, I totally get that. I just thought it was cute. I just thought. I guess that's fair.
But the nice thing is that people jumped all over.
I've
been telling this people for ages. Like, it's comic book fame. It's nowhere near the same as real people fame.
But it's interesting. So now.
Now they're after you and we have to hide.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
so,
we're not quite there yet, but it's going to be soon.
Yeah, you're on the watch list. Yeah.
I'm betting there is a list.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, again, just that pause that George took, but like, this is going to piss him off. And again, one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
Everyone nodded. Let's talk about this segment because I didn't get to see this. So it's George Stephanopoulos on Good Morning America. And good old GMA. And so they're doing like a segment about this then, right?
They're talking about Bannon and the problematic, you know, relationship he has, and the fact that he's on the National Security Council. Mm-hmm. Should he be there? And
no.
How can he even get a security clearance?
Yeah.
He is, you know, one of the questions they ask you is like, do you have any views that are anti-American? And it's like, he's self-professed to be a Leninist who wants to destroy all of institutionalized America. So how is he able to get this spot?
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, unseat the military generals in that same council. It's like, it makes no sense. So that was kind of like where they were talking about it, and then the cartoon pops up.
Okay,
because you went, everybody's everyone's been retweeting this.
Yeah,
this is everywhere now. Was how they said it.
It
up.
Was weird. Yeah, I'm sitting there in the morning like, what? and it's quite not what I expected.
Well, how did you know that it was going to be on Good Morning America? Did they contact you?
Someone tweeted me a screen grab. From earlier in the morning, because I was watching the later feed, and I jumped on to see what was going to be there, and so I can report it for you. And But yeah, someone sent me a screen grab and it was like, oh my God. So yeah, I turned it on when it came to the West Coast feed and like, yep, okay. There it is. Oh, okay. Holy crap.
Fantastic. Well,
and we went to the Women's March and her sign, this fellow who works, who worked, I guess, in the 60s and 70s or...
No, it was when... not that long ago. He was, he's been working for a while, but he worked with her block.
Yeah.
And he
so
worked
Pia
on
did
a...
her liar sign and we both carried around and got a lot of people like... liking it at the march and
in real life.
In real life.
IRL, as they say.
Lots of people pointing.
It was like being it was like doing a cosplay at San Diego. Every 10 feet you walk, someone stops you. Like, I had to take a picture of that sign.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. It was great. But yeah, there was this one guy who was giving us nice compliments and I was telling
him. Yeah, we were sitting in a park near the march to take a break. Lafayette, behind the White House to take a break. And he came over and it was just like, I like this sign. It's very concise, and I think it's the best one today because it expresses what it needs to in like less than 3 seconds. It's very clear, and I think that's what good satirical cartoons do. Is like, and why it's like, because right now we have so many people with so many different ideas and things that they're angry about. I think strong images really convey like immediately like this is where I stand or I agree with this. And it covers a whole lot of bases about what you're feeling. You don't have to write a whole screed about like every point. Like we all know all the points and there are people outside of it who are just don't want to get involved and don't know all the points, but they too can read this and go, oh yeah, it is a strong, powerful image. Can go, I think, way farther than right now, you know, a president speech, that's for sure.
Well, I like that you were saying that you had little kids who were liking the liar thing.
That was the thing that really got me, was that little kids who were just, they got the joke.
Yeah.
You know, because like one kid was kind of looking at it and it's like, what? And the mom said, well, what does it say, hun? It says, liar, liar. And what's happening to his pants? They're on fire! And he laughed. It was like, that is awesome. Yeah. I was so happy with
that.
And
then you have like older people who are like, yeah, those got the hands just right, you know? look at his face. Yeah.
I got a detail that other people don't get. We're all in on us. I hear what you're saying. But, did you guys ever like read like editorial cartoons when you were kids?
Yes.
Yeah, it was where I read the newspaper and I love the editorial cartoons. It was my favorite part of the
I used
paper.
To copy, like I used, like when I was like 6 or 7, I could draw Rennie Levesque and Pierre Trudeau almost perfectly, like in cartoon style, to where it was creepy to people. It was like, want me to draw Rennie Levesque? What? Oh, okay. And then it's like, I can still do that caricature to this day.
Yeah. Pretty distinct look to those two as well. So.
Well, it wasn't until I saw a Herblock documentary last year that I really started to focus on trying to do it myself.
Yeah.
And I saw like how it really works. Because I would try and do it before, but I've always felt like I never quite got the handle of it. You know, it was either too complex or I wasn't, you know, clear enough. But then I saw him and his whole approach and I was like, yeah, that's how you do it. And so then I was like applying what I figured out from there to this stuff. And so that's why it was really cool. We met that guy at Lafayette Park because, I explained to him, I was like, oh yeah, I saw a Dirk documentary and I was really inspired and I'm trying this after Herblock. And he's like, oh, I work with Herblock. And I'm like, what? and he was really nice. He said he worked on a project with him animating editorial cartoons and he was really impressed with his work. And he's like, yeah, you're on it and that this is great. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you. And so I feel like it's good. It's like you focus on what you need to do. And
yeah, he was talking about his project when a lot of the newspapers were being gobbled up and downsized. He used to work with a lot of people who did syndication,
like Oliphant, and
he did syndicated satirical political cartoons, and then they thought, oh, we'll try to hit a new market with animated ones for websites and TV shows, new shows, but that quickly failed. He was telling how, like, it just didn't catch on because, like, with media outlets and TV, you couldn't be as sharp and critical of the politics because they would take criticism from their viewership, like, saying, I don't agree with that cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
So seriously, they just didn't want to piss anybody off.
Mm-hmm.
So the market for that dwindled. I don't know, like... Because, you know, there's a whole thing with newspapers shrinking, but now they're kind of getting a rebound as we figure out we need free press to keep a hand on them.
You say that, and then they just had a bunch of layoffs from our local papers here. Yeah. Local.
But at the same time, Washington Post just hired like 30 new people. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah,
and
But
the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon. So,
but the thing is,
he's got a lot of money in his pockets.
But everything that's happening with Trump, you got people trying to find a paper of record that they can trust.
Sure,
that's
why
their readership has gone up, which just means they can afford these new people.
I think anyone who's followed politics for the last couple of years has realized that the internet is a really what's the word I'm looking for? It's not a very efficient way of getting information because it's so easy to skew. Even for ourselves, for us to skew our own opinions and have everything sort of, you know, kind of narrow cast to our own selves, that, you know, you kind of end up in this sort of bubble. Yeah.
And then you're like, what's going on? You open the door for fake news very easily.
Exactly. Because especially if it agrees with what you think, then it just reinforces
someone I trust is sharing this. It must be valid. And no one's taking the time to check.
Mm-hmm.
Or no one's been taught how to check. It's just all this technology is coming in so fast.
Well, it's hard to check too. Like
But let me just say, we were talking about my sister a little while ago, and she never listens to this show. So let me just say this: I can't tell you the amount of times I have.
Is this your sister, the Tattletale?
Yes, my sister, the Tattletale. So I'm tattling her on her now. So
yes, that's right.
All on my podcast. Mm-hmm.
You know that's
revenge, sweet revenge. But the amount of times that I've showed her how to use Snopes. And just go, Snopes, you know this outrageous thing? If you're going to say, the thing you post, you know, that you go, I can't believe this happens, which is what she then always says. Just like, well, if you can't believe it happens, and you're writing those words, just take that article, put it in the Snopes, let's just take a quick look. Yeah. No, that never happened.
Yeah. I do that quite a bit.
No, they didn't kick the war veteran. They didn't kick him and go, this one's for Obama. They didn't do it. It didn't happen. Yeah. None of this happened.
I think that was the part, going back to the Women's March, which I think that's why we're invited on to talk.
Let's
all just shut up for a while. Everyone, wait, freedom of speech is fine, but shut
one second.
Up.
Yeah, freedom of speech is fine, but as long as it's my freedom of speech is being honored. Let's just say, because we're kind of cutting in as if to be continued, and we're just jumping in. Maybe people don't know that you guys went to Washington, D.C.
We did,
to the Women's March, which is great. There's tons of people who went here in Vancouver, went in Seattle. But you guys actually spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
And went down there. I mean, it's really putting your money where your mouth is.
We were fortunate because some contract stuff came through and we have a little extra. Let's do this.
Yeah.
We were going to go to Angoulême, you know, and see all that culture in Paris and stuff.
Okay, I would have done that. Yeah. Not lying.
We'll do that later.
I'm not going to lie to you.
You're just so mad.
But at this point,
they were protesting in France as well.
Yeah, you guys could have joined in at Angoulême.
Yes. But then we figured, this is kind of important. Let's do this.
Yeah.
But also, it would have been, we want to put more time into France.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have the time to do that, and we can't really right now with Charlie.
Yeah.
So Vicky and I decided to do this.
We should mention who Charlie is.
Charlie is our cat. He's sick. And so he's a mess. And he needs a lot of attention and a lot of meds. And a schedule is pretty much every 4 to 6 hours. So So someone has to be there with him. And we want to save that for another time.
Sure. Yeah. Understandable.
But for those of you that were interested in a Charlie update, which some people are,
he's doing better.
He's still in good spirits. We're still taking him for walks. Yep. He's kind of in, it's probably the last couple of weeks,
mini heart attacks home, and there's blood on the floor. I'm like, oh my god, but no, he's fine. He just ate something sharp and the kibble, and so he ate it. And it's scary because you're waiting for something to happen, but he's still holding on. He's still himself. He's just really achy and annoyed all the time.
Yeah.
We'll put a picture of him in a beautiful sweater.
You had a few nice pictures of him. His tongue sticking out.
Yeah. Which,
you know, I know it's probably from his condition, but it's also super cute when they have the tongue.
It's very bub-like, you know. He's got a tumor in his jaw that's kind of pushing his tongue.
Mm-hmm.
He when he was in the park, it totally snapped back inside. So I think it's just about alertness.
Yeah.
But when he's relaxed, it just bleh. And it's cute.
Yeah.
You feel for the little guy because he's a mess.
Okay, so that is the Charlie update.
That was we weren't going to go to Paris. We were like, let's go weekend in Washington with my sister and yell at that motherfucker.
Yeah, which was interesting because also a friend of the show, Brandwyn Beaglestone, also
went
to there, and her friend Tracy, another great person we met through Brandwyn, by my lying to them at a restaurant one time.
Well, why don't you tell us about that lying story?
Oh no, it's okay. I think we talked about it before how we met them when I was
You said you were Stan Lee.
I said I was Stan Lee.
Very impressed.
They said you look so young. And I said, well, just look for me, and I have a terrible cameo in the next Avengers movie.
And you said, expulsion! And I was like, I don't think that's what he says.
That's where
Ecuador!
That's where it all fell apart.
I think you're close to a cigar.
form of packing material.
So let me ask you guys this.
Yeah. You guys know that's what Excelsior is, right?
You had, sure, why not?
It's packing material.
I don't know. You work at a packing place.
I heard it. Things. I was reading a thing and they said the box full of like Excelsior and I was like, what? Wait.
You've got Excelsior where you work. Check it out.
I don't know.
It is.
I don't know what it really is.
Okay. This is your business, man.
Do you yell Excelsior every time you need to use it?
I do.
Oh, good.
I don't even know what it is, honestly.
Excedrin!
I've got a headache.
All right, here's my question. So when you guys were planning on going,
Before
you knew that it was going to be ginormous, like you knew it was
going to
be...
Oh, no one knew it was going to be ginormous because it's a Facebook event. And who goes to the Facebook events?
That's true.
Everyone says they will. Yeah, but you were a little worried that what?
Well, a couple things. Well, one, we were worried that there wasn't going to be enough of us. It said that 145,000 people were coming.
Okay.
And again, Facebook invites.
Yeah,
you can
usually an eighth of that amount.
Yeah, you take an eighth of that. So, like, so what is it? If there's going to be just 10,000 of us, is that going to be cool? Because the day after the inauguration, there's probably going to be red caps all over the place. Mm-hmm. And they're angry and they want to rub people's faces in it. They're so high on their win.
Yeah.
Their technical win that that they're not afraid.
Asterisk.
Yeah, that they're not afraid to cause some shit because they're emboldened and it's a cult of personality and that lets you get away with shit.
Yeah. You could have brought the 3 million dead voters with you. That would have really pumped up you.
Yeah. But we weren't sure. But there wasn't an event happening in Vancouver. And we're like, well, maybe we should go to that one. Like, no, let's do this. Let's go and we'll go check out some museums. So there'll be extra reason to go. But when we got there, we got to the airport and we're just not really sure. But then we started seeing a couple of...
Is this Dulles Airport? Is that
Dulles,
where you
land? Okay. Yeah. And there's a couple of pink hats roaming around. Some people in their pussy hats.
Yeah, we got there at 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, so we saw a few. That was a relief.
A little heartening.
Then we got into a shuttle to get to our hotel, and we had to wait a while because you had to wait for these shuttles to fill up.
Yeah, there was a woman inside already who was on her phone, and we got in. We're like, hi. And like, oh, what are you here for? She's like, oh, the march. She's like, oh, we're here for the march too. And then another woman came, and we're like really tentative, because I think everyone was just scared of confronting somebody in real life who would just be yelling at you about Trump in your face.
Yeah.
I'm not a very confrontational person.
It's not what I heard. There's a tattletale sitting out.
I like the sign that's so bad, even introverts are coming.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, even introverts.
But then another woman came on and was like, are you here for the march? Yeah. And then before
what
you know
a
it,
gentle
all,
revolution.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
And then another woman came and she had the shirt on. So we're come on in. And
by
then
the time
there was like a lineup of vans going different parts of the city and just this
trickle
and turn into a stream and just all these women with poster board and hats and just all women who are just is this the van going to the thing? I'm going on the march.
Yeah.
Where are you going? I'm going on the march. You're going on the march. And you just tell all these planes are just landing at that kind of last plane of the evening.
There's a ton of Pinterest pages on making protest signs.
Oh, yeah. So, they're great. And so when our shuttle filled up, we're all going to the march.
Yeah, then
so
there was a dad
we're having
with
great
his
conversations.
Daughter.
Just met a person who worked in the film industry in LA. So they had a great conversation.
They're talking about women in the industry and that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got to the hotel and there's pink hats everywhere.
Yeah.
All over the lobby.
Yeah, we got there by I think 11 p.m. And just, girls with, it was like a sorority meeting or something.
Yeah.
Like people in their pajama pants and
the hotel staff must have been so happy.
They were really happy about it. They were so supportive.
No, I'm being serious.
Yeah,
Everyone who in the service industry that we met was very kind of, when you went up, they were fairly neutral.
Mm-hmm.
But when you said, I'm here to yell at my president, thick little smile. And you're like, okay, here, have a cookie.
We got so many cookies that we had.
One of those hotels where they have a cookie heater.
Okay.
So they have a tray
cookie
of warm
heater.
Cookies ready whenever you go to talk
when
to
you
them.
Check in. Yeah, it was really nice.
Nice.
So, but everyone was really helpful and really nice. And you could sort of see it, especially the valets, the waitresses, the clerks. Everyone was just like, thank you for being here. You're awesome.
Yeah,
by the way, you know that warm cookie policy came in under Obama.
Trump
is not giving out hot cookies to nobody.
No cookie welfare.
It's a cookie ban.
So the next day, we were still not sure how. We thought, okay, it's going to be a good size. We're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because we also heard that the buses, the leases that they had for permits for a place to park the buses, for the inauguration, they had 300 buses.
Okay.
And for the Women's March, they had I think it was 3,000. Yeah, it was 3,000 like, buses like coming in. Wow. So we were like, oh my God. Okay, well, okay, and feeling
then,
better.
Yeah. And
then we walk over. So these are like 3,000 like Greyhound buses sort of thing. Yeah, like, yeah.
Like spots for, to permits for spots.
Wow.
And they were parked out, like not 3,000 of them, but there were like 6 or 7 of them parked outside the hotel. We got a hotel near the Pentagon and
okay.
we could just see out over the Pentagon. And when we looked down in the morning when I woke up, there was, yeah, a couple, there all these Greyhound buses. It was like 7 a.m. and just all these, like, women kind of rushing back and forth, getting on and off and organizing. And
yeah.
But they all had pink hats on. So you're like, oh, okay, it's starting.
So, yeah, so we got into the train station, and then it was pretty much locked in there for about an hour before we got to the platform because it was wall-to-wall people. Hats everywhere.
Yeah.
And everybody, it was fantastic. Very calm
and this is in Japan. Like, they're not used to this.
I know. Yeah. And, yeah, so it took a while to get on the train, and we were packed in like sardines. And it took another 2 hours to get just a few stops.
Yeah.
Everything was slowed down. At one point when we were waiting to get on, they just opened the turnstiles because there's too many people.
Okay.
So yeah, they
stopped taking fares.
Yeah, at the station, they would, there's an area most...
Excuse me, everyone.
Yeah. Most, you know, public transit has like a turnstile to get on between, like you get your ticket and then you go through the turnstile and then you get on the platform.
Yeah.
So we got our tickets and we're in this giant crowd of people trying to get through to the turnstile. And we got right up to the turnstile and they stopped working. And then everybody was like, what's happening? I'm like, oh, they're only letting a certain amount of people onto the platform so that it's not a crush of people on the platform.
Yeah.
So every time a train comes, they'll let more people through. Mm-hmm. So the train came and you just would hear people cheering every time that the train came. And then you could hear people on the train cheering and then the people on the platform would cheer and people in the back would cheer and everyone looking at each other's signs and cheering. And,
that's great.
And then finally when they did open the gates for our pack of people, they kind of open the like the handicap sliding gate, like the not the one that you there's like access side access and then they just opened all the gates without any count or like you don't get charged or something.
Sure.
But we all had bought the $10 pass, so but they just let everybody in and, and then when on the train, because the trains ahead of us were packed and it took so long to unload them at the station, instead of taking like maybe 15-20 minutes to get there, it took
two hours. Yeah. Wow. It was a long time.
Because every station you were, the trains would stop in the middle of stations. Every station you would be there for like a couple minutes instead of 30 seconds, just because the amount of, they added more trains and the amount of time to offload them at the end was
so big. Is this their subway system?
I'm just
okay. They're a really good subway system. It's pretty neat. We got off at this one station L'Enfant? That has like multiple L'Enfant, and there's multiple lines going through there. So it was just a mad crowd getting out. It took a while to get out.
Yeah.
And then we finally got on the streets and then it's like, oh wow, it was a huge amount of people.
Wow.
We had to we had passed the point where we had left a good 2 hours before the thing was supposed to start.
Okay.
Well, that'll be enough time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we got there about an hour after it started.
Wow.
And we had totally missed the time allotted to meet up with the women in comics.
Okay.
That we were, the other women in comics group. With Branwyn. And when we got there, we found like a volunteer and we're like, oh, we need to meet at the steps.
On the other side of the mall.
The steps at that building over there. And she just laughed. She's like, you could try, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because we got as far as the
intersection before the mall that you could cross and then there'd be another intersection. They were waiting there.
Mm-hmm.
But we got about halfway into the intersection and it wasn't moving. We were just wall-to-wall people. And so we just kind of took another hour to work our way back. And then we found an alley and just took a break.
We arrived kind of near the intersection where the big speeches were happening.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, just arriving there, there were so many little kids and mums with babies, and it was very calm, and everyone was very happy, and I think everybody was very happy to see how many people were showing
up.
Yeah,
sure, yeah, I can imagine.
I think that energy was so positive, because what was really, I noticed, like, when you're in the middle of this intersection with thousands of people crammed in together, you can't move, And normally in that kind of situation, I would panic a little bit because all I can think of is it just takes one thing for this to go wrong
yeah.
and people, you know, get trampled. But it was, everyone was so happy.
Yeah.
There was no tension. There was no, I got to get over there or anything like that. It was just like, we're all just hanging out. Everything's great. And yeah, and it was like, it was, and I remember thinking this is the first time I felt really, really positive in a few months.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really great to just see everybody.
That was a real common reaction just from yeah. people watching it. Like, it was just like, oh, yeah, okay, you know.
To go back, I think my immediate impression when we got there and there were so many people was this relief of, like, the idea that, you know, with Facebook and media and you're angry and you see – and you're you think, oh, maybe I'm just in some, like, Facebook analytic loop where I'm not getting everything that – why people voted for this man, or if I'm not getting why he's got support because
are you in your own echo chamber?
Yeah, am I in a bubble? Yeah. Am I in an echo chamber?
That's right. Yeah.
Am I mad to, like, my small group of artsy fartsy friends who are just feeding stuff back at me? And it's just I'm just kind of screaming at the choir, basically.
Yeah.
And we're all just grumpy in our little circle. And I think a lot of people got there and realized. That and a lot of the protests afterwards, I think, are just people showing up saying, "I'm not a meme. I'm not a bot. I'm not some
I'm not being
virtual.
Paid by George Soros.
I'm not being paid by some. I'm here voting with
you guys.
Body.
Didn't get any of the George Soros money because it was flowing like wine. You guys, I'm surprised you didn't get any
Georgie
of that.
Bucks.
yeah, a little different.
You only spent very few things like. Yeah. Really bad food.
My favorite comment was, like, when someone afterward was some right asshole was going, like, you know, where'd they get all those hats from? I suppose they bought them, right? Like, no, we all made them.
Yeah.
That was the whole point. China, yeah.
That was the whole point of the of the march, is that, like, it's a critical point of one of the of like their mission statement was, like, you got to make the hat.
Okay.
And they had patterns on the websites and everything.
Yeah.
Everybody made hats.
Tiny local stitching bitches getting together and getting political. But yeah, it was very much everyone looking around going, you're angry? I'm angry. I can't believe, like,
so many of us are angry.
Like, we're actually not just, you know, 10 people looping in some sort of Facebook.
But I think that's also
thing.
Goes in part to the whole gaslighting thing. You
yeah,
know?
And I think it hits pretty close. It hits something in like, a lot of women I talk to. We were, like, joking that, you know, oh, he touched a nerve. I'm like, oh, there are a bunch of nerves. But that idea of, like...
He knows how to touch women.
Yeah. They let him, apparently, because he's the big movie star. That's what it says on his toupee underneath. Movie star, model number 47. That idea that, you know, you spend your life with people telling you, don't be so you're blowing this out of proportion. Mm-hmm. Don't be so dramatic. You're just not getting it. You're just you're hysterical or you're blowing it all out of proportion. And this was just everyone basically saying, I'm showing up. This is a vote. This is my body here. I'm saying no. I am mad. You can't say I'm not mad. You can't say I'm some fictional thing. I think that was very important to a lot of women there. And it was great because even on the train, like, you'd pass by these conversations of women. There was some women on from, like, North Carolina who were how they were speaking about stuff, not their accent, but how they were speaking about stuff. You could tell they weren't, you know, super political or progressive.
Were they drinking moonshine out of a jar?
No.
Okay.
They did say lesser heart after ripping apart some.
I'm just joking.
They were reading some of the signs. Like, there were some people on one of the platforms who couldn't get on the train who had this sign about, like, people, what was it, spoonies, like, everyone's welcome here, spoonies, and or people who aren't welcome here, turfs, and they were like, what does that mean?
Yeah,
I know, but, like, all the, they were
it's
being
fraternity
exposed.
Talk.
Turfs is what?
Trans-exclusionary radical
feminist.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're
so someone like a Roseanne Barr, she's a feminist, but she doesn't consider transsexual people. She basically doesn't respect transsexual
she's an asshole,
people.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
they're not real women or something.
Okay.
Yeah, so that they don't deserve to be.
So there were a lot of
to our spaces.
Okay.
You know, like, Granted, it was a lot of white women of a certain, like a middle class white woman march. Yeah, yeah. Like there were a lot of people of color.
There's a lot of Birkenstocks.
Like, they were the smaller. They were the minority. Hippies.
These are moms. Yeah. These are all the soccer moms.
The soccer moms. Wow. Okay.
And the thing is that what was needed.
But they could. They're the ones who could afford to go.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's true.
And they were actually very open to like reading signs and like they're googling terms and they're just like, oh, who's that? What's that quote from?
That was really cool. And there were still some. It wasn't completely.
There were plenty
free.
Of people. From
I remember seeing there was a sign there saying, you know, like let's not forget that white women voted for Trump, because that was
that's true.
Pretty clear thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's something we have to own up to.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
There was also some incidences with indigenous women who were there who were kind of treated very badly, because it's women who don't like so there were people there who don't really know all the politics, and some of them are still ignorant about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And they said some shit that wasn't right.
Okay.
And so, but again, that's something we have to, you know, keep pushing.
You got 800,000 to a million.
Yeah, that's
But then there was no violence at all, and not just there.
Yeah.
But in all of America, in America, but all over the world, where they had these huge things.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a positive movement.
What the hell else could it, like at Christmas celebrations? There must be more injuries than that, right?
I think
just at our house.
Just that fact, I think, is also another one of those digs at Trump's ego, especially Bannon too, because Bannon wants a race war. He wants this clash, this mythical race war because this is the thing I find with a lot of alt writers and like these pure straight up racist assholes. They think so little of people of color, of people of women, that they think that we're just this close to tearing up buildings and setting everything on fire.
Okay.
They think that the fact that, you know, oh, we just have to push them a little bit and then they'll just prove us right.
Yeah.
And the fact that nothing happened at these marches just shows how out of touch he is with how, you know, how angry we are, but how intent we are on fixing things, not just breaking things. They want us to break things, but we're not going to do that because we care about the things that we want to fix.
Yeah.
So that was in itself was really a great thing to see.
Yeah, I like how it caught everyone off guard who had their regular stock thing to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when you're talking about those women who are there, you know, the kind of older women or what have you, something, again, I'm projecting. So, you know, you tell me if I'm projecting. But it feels like, you know, they went out because it was something interesting. And it's like, I'm mad. I'm going to go out. And I'm going to do this. And then all of a sudden they realized, oh, this is relevant. We're relevant. Us being here is having an impact.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when people find out that they're relevant and what they're doing matters, that's just a fucking wake-up call. And I think that's where the hope kind of came to people. Because, like, there's been so long, like, what's it going to take to get people marching in the streets? You know, what's it going to take? And it's like, oh, shit, they're marching in the streets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fuck, all over the world. Well, it's going to be violent. It's not violent. Oh, it's really good. Yeah. And it's actually a good sense of humor to a lot of
it. Incredibly creative. I was so impressed with it. There was a gazillion signs. I'm an old timer when it comes to marches. I used to go to a lot of anti-war marches in the 80s and all that stuff. Nowhere near the coolness of signs.
Yeah.
That was at this one. Like every other person had a sign, and it was all funny and clever and stuff.
One of the big points was, I can't remember, something in the election, there was some anti-Trump thing going on, but like someone had issued out all these protest signs and the critique was like, oh, this is just being funded by someone, and you know, people show up and they want to yell and hear some signs and they don't care. I think the big, between the hats and the signs, it was a big screw you to anyone saying that this was, you know,
funded or somehow
controlled.
These were all individuals. Yeah,
everyone had their own sign. Like there were a bunch of Shepherd Fairy signs, like they spotted around the place because everyone loves Shepherd Fairy. And I think those prints are like worth something now or something, but like dwarfed by like every third person had like stopped and made just put their specific thing on a sign.
Yeah.
I'm fighting for Planned Parenthood. I'm fighting for Black Lives Matter.
There was a Sandy Hook survivor. Sandy Hook was amazing. Wow.
There was this little, we stopped and after we went through the big crush and came back and decided we need to have some air. We found a spot to sit down and there was this little girl across from us with like a neon green poster board, and obviously in her own handwriting she had written scary orange man. That was my sign, scary orange man.
So many Princess Leia's and like Rebel Alliance symbols everywhere.
Yeah.
It was so great.
Yeah, I think because they welcomed so many different aspects of just, because it was a women's march and kind of some of the main funders or backers were for Planned Parenthood and that. But there are so many things that fall under the umbrella of women's issues. And they were all welcome to stand there and say, no, I disagree with the president. Mm-hmm. No, this is my voice and this is what I'm saying. And I'm here to tell you no. Just no. Just fuck off. No.
There was one red cap there that I remember seeing. And it was really funny because he was standing nearby the monument. And right on 14th, and he was just kind of just glaring at everybody. And he had two other people there, and then one guy with a cowboy hat, and they're just glaring at him like he wanted to start something, but you could also see he was scared out of his mind. Hmm. Like he was really covering it, but
it
was
ocean,
you're in the ocean, and you're gonna drown. Yeah, and he was just rigid. He was rigid with like anger, and it was just like, but he couldn't do anything, and that felt so good. And you didn't even want to like flip him off or anything. We just kind of looked at him and kept our going away because we're having our party and this is our voice.
Yeah.
But it was so heartening to see because it was just like, yes, yeah, thank you.
I'm did not you, crazy.
Besides
other
him,
people did, are did mad you, too.
Did you see other like Trump supporters at
the No, that was a
well,
surprising
not
thing.
During the day. Mm-hmm. On the day, but the next we stayed for a couple of days to go.
Because they're
to
nocturnal.
We saw them at night. So that was the great thing going around Washington. We went to the was it the National American History Museum?
Okay.
The Air and Space Museum. We went to the Lincoln Memorial. And you'd see like one or two little packs of people, and one of them would be wearing a Make America Great hat.
Okay.
But very few.
But like the whole place was flooded with women, and the pink hats were everywhere.
Even days after.
Yeah. Every museum, just piles and piles of women, just kind of. And you'd see somebody else with a button, and girls were high fiving. Like people didn't know each other. Just be like, hey,
yeah,
hey.
I think it was so cool. There was one point we're at the Smithsonian, and we're sitting there, and there was a group of pink hats kind of in the lobby, like off in an area near the benches, and they're taking a break, and one was just having a mini meltdown, and all the girls just came and hugged her. It's like, it's okay, we're gonna get through this. Like, I'm just having a really good day. I just want to get some food. And it was so sweet. It was just a lot of supportive environment. Best thing about the Smithsonian, we went to the president section.
Okay.
Yeah.
And at first you see that wall. It's kind of this curved wall, and it has all the president's faces right at the end, and it looked like it was kind of put in the last minute because there's not much of a margin between the edge of the wall, but it's Trump's face and he's scowling and all the other president's faces are smiling. Mm. But everyone kind of walking up to it and just going, it's real God. And then it's the same thing in the Melania picture in the first lady section. But the best part was when you go further into the president's kind of history of America, there's a section there on impeachment. Everybody was around there reading everything, and it was just like, oh,
yeah,
what can
they had
do?
The cabinet from Watergate that had been mm-hmm.
got Jimmy to open,
and they had some stuff from the Monica Lewinsky trial and stuff like that. And then that was in like this glass case.
They didn't
have
the dress though, right?
No.
They just had some like
had a cigar.
That thing that the Lewinsky the impeachment document they released. And then it's this like little glass cases, like little structures in the room, and beside the impeachment kind of case is this little alcove, and like just everybody came. It's the obvious joke when you walk in, but like, and so I made it, but but like then everyone after me, like you could just hear people saying it. They're just standing there going, yeah, this, they could put another one right here and just like extend the impeachment thing right here. This is a great amount of room. Like they need a couple feet for all the stuff, but I can see it. You just extend this glass wall here, and
yeah, and they're ready for it too.
Yeah, it's just a big empty space waiting to be filled.
Well, what I liked was you were going to all these historical museums, and it was just like, you guys all were history. Like, this is something that is historical that will be remembered.
We found out that the Smithsonian was collecting a lot of the signs that were left behind so they can have it for future exhibits.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And ours is in there. We left one of ours in the park.
Because we brought three.
Maybe.
And she had one, I had one, and we had a third one for one of the girls that we were meeting up with.
Yeah.
We
never.
We met up with them the next day.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of people we were going to meet up with who were just like, you got there. And like,
no.
This is going to
be
impossible. And I heard that from other women who are just like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Sally's just going to have to find her own way back to the airport. that kind of stuff. But
But yeah, the museums were great.
So we left one sign on this gate in Lafayette Park in the back of the White House.
But a lot of these museums had all like little subtle things that like this is all on everyone's minds. We went by past the Holocaust Museum. Mm. There's a big exhibit there on collaborators, the Nazi neighbors of yours. And it's like, I think everyone's having a good dig at this. And finding a lot of context and finding ways to express their frustrations.
Well, I guess you're super conscious of it too, so you're picking up these things.
Yeah, that too. Things. But it also just seemed a little too on the nose in some places. Mm-hmm. But it was fun. It was just really nice to be in that atmosphere of support. Yeah. And like, yeah, we're all not nuts.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? And now, so you make this drawing, and now you capture the minds of all these people that you're walking with. Just a little while ago, these are the people who are retweeting your...
I think it was because of the march that it just you felt good about talking about it and finding ways to creatively tackle this problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of credit when I got home, I was energized. Mm-hmm. And that's when I just started tackling drawings one after another. I was like, yes, now's the time. I feel good. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it felt like, you know, when it was the election night, you really had this feeling of, I don't get it. I don't get it. Oh, shit. Yeah, oh, shit. And then you kind of feel alone. You kind of feel like, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I'm out of touch.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get that, you kind of go, oh, wait. All right.
Yeah, election night was a total disaster. I remember so clearly Allison, our friend, who was sitting there. We were all watching the TV just like stunned. And she's like, it's like 9/11 all over again. Mm. And it's like, yeah, it really is.
Yeah, we're all kind of in shock.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, I'd actually, not to toot my own horn, but I actually had, not predicted, but I said at work early in the day, I'd said, I'm not going to count Trump out because he always surprises us.
Even when it was saying it was a 30% chance.
Yeah.
If someone says you've got a 30% chance of getting cancer.
Yeah.
Take that shit seriously.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, during the election, I was really nervous about it. Mm-hmm. I saw the crowds, and I was like, yeah, but the polls are saying, it's like, no, but look at these crowds. Mm-hmm. They're crazy.
Yeah.
Not only that, but something... like all the email thing, like just the week before all the shit that came out against Hillary.
It seemed really badly timed or oddly timed.
Not oddly timed. That was timed exactly
why I think he's not a legitimate president. The fact is that there's this very serious investigation about his connections to Russia were not revealed, but this sort of not really even remotely connected to Hillary investigation was pushed really hard. So yes, the voters were not properly informed. This is a sham election. It was influenced by an authority that shouldn't have been doing any influencing. So this affects its legitimacy.
And there was a cockiness there that I think was brought on by this. Where science, I think, bit people in the ass too. Was everyone was told, "Don't worry, look at that." Because the pollsters that are always right, always right, say there's only a 30% chance, and that's science. Don't worry, everyone. Science, science, science. And it's like, yeah, you're not quite getting how fucking science works. So everyone got really, you know, and it's just like, yeah, I'm going to make a protest vote. I'm going to vote for Jill Stein. I'm going to protest.
The day before...
I'm
going to,
because I know it's safe.
Yeah.
So I've got room to fuck around.
Oh, everybody?
Yep. And, take a drink.
And then here comes the ambulance for the country.
Guess ambulance? Take two drinks.
And then, at the end of the night, it was like a real big wake up call, but it was like too late and there's nothing you can do. And then, you know, there's all this grabbing for false hope of just, but the electors will stop it. And then they all go, well, but it'll be fixed. And that's why, no, it won't. But it's like, well, what can you fucking do? And then the real hope to me came when you guys all went out and walked. And it was just like, no, this is the one thing. He works for, the government works for the people, and the people just fucking showed up. And that's what's been so nice when, you know, they're doing the Muslim ban, and then everyone just goes, fuck it, we're going to the airport. Fucking airport.
Yeah, like,
and lawyers just go, nope, I'm giving my stuff for free, and everyone just becomes the best self they're going to be. Yeah.
And there's been major rallies almost every day of his election since he's gotten into office, and even before then. But it's just so nice to see every day there's a new one. There's stuff going on today. There was stuff going on yesterday. One city after another is just, there's massive crowds showing up to let them know that this isn't on.
Also, well, oh, sorry.
Just the idea, like, I think throughout the election and after the election, we're just waiting for either Bernie or Hillary or
something,
you know, somebody to kind of champion the cause and take him down a peg, or waiting for, you know, the some sort of legal press, like the impeachment thing, or somebody
even,
to come up.
Even Tom goddamn Arnold. People are like, he's got a tape of him saying the N-word. This is going to bring it all down. Tom's got our backs.
Like, you're waiting and waiting for somebody to pop up. And nobody's showing up. And then you realize, oh, if I could do that, I could show up.
Yeah.
I think everyone's just like tired of waiting for someone to come and be that, you know, person we all stand behind, just like it's gonna be me.
I have to say though, it would be really nice to see Kirsten Gillibrand do more,
Kamala Harris, or Kamala Harris, a list of people who just, you know, and then they get on TV and they're just, you could see the hesitation of like they don't want to lose voters if the tide turns or this turns or
no, I think,
you know, there's
some
politicking going on.
We showed them that there is
like
a tide for this.
Yeah,
that it's a strong tide. It's bigger than the Tea Party. It's bigger than Trump's supporters, because, you know,
It's weird. Okay, well, to say this, it's weird that for liberals, when you mention the Tea Party or another organization that existed before that, that was pretty small but very influential, which is the Moral Majority.
They showed up.
The Moral Majority, because they showed up, they had a lot of money behind them as well. And so it's just interesting that liberals don't have the money behind them, or don't seem to know how to focus their efforts.
One of the people behind the Tea Party when it was starting was also Clarence Thomas's wife, and she had deep pockets, but also there were some legal things that they were able to do that legally you shouldn't be able to do. Basically the government had the back of someone who shouldn't have had their back had their backs as well.
But the thing is, what we've seen this before on John Oliver, talking about how they may be small, but they're organized enough to go to those small vote meetings
and stay on message, tight fucking message.
And keep things like,
whereas the liberal thing will shatter and will split.
They'll all start fighting with each other because people who are mad at each other because they don't recognize gender or they don't this that.
Right.
And so
mad because they're not inclusive.
Focus on issues, whereas what you need to do is you have to focus on issue related things. So if you want to have a minimum wage increase, that's what your message has to be. You can't have anything else but that one message.
What we showed with the Women's March is that they have a very particular, like, it's not a single issue agenda. It's multiple issues, but it's very focused on saying we're going to be intersectional. We are going to make sure we're all behind this. These are the different things that we are supporting, and we're not going to back down from this. And that's important because, I mean, it's not just Planned Parenthood. It's not just equal wage. Mm-hmm. It's all these things, but these are things that affect women, and we're going to push for them. So I think that's important, is to have a very clear idea of what you're doing.
Totally, but now you've got to take it from that national level down to where it really counts, which is at local and regional levels,
what they're doing
right
now with their writing campaign. Mm-hmm. So
is the Huddle. Came out today.
What's this?
Huddle, the Women's March has 10 actions in 100 days, and the first one was write a postcard to your to your senators.
Because physical mail matters.
Yeah.
Okay. More than emails. Now,
same with phone calls, yeah.
Now the next one that just came out today is called the Huddle, where you get people together and you can talk about things you can do locally.
Yeah. Plan of action.
Yeah,
just like you do
action
in a football game. You have your huddle, you talk about strategy. Yeah.
So that's the new action for the next.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the Indivisible pamphlet as well that's like online. Am I getting that name right? Are you familiar with
that? I haven't. I know the organization, but I don't know.
Yeah, basically it's people that used to work for Congress, and they know what influences Congress. They're like, do this, don't do that. Focus on this, don't focus on that, because they give a fuck about this. You might think they give a fuck about that. They do not. They give a fuck about this.
Yeah, this is like, there was someone who worked as a staffer in Congress, and he came up with a really good set of guidelines. And it's like, I know you want to contact this senator who said this evil shit, but unless he's your senator, it's not going to have any effect. They're going to ignore any phone calls that are not from their direct constituents. So what you do is you contact your constituent, like your
senator.
Representative, your senator, your congressperson. And if they're doing something bad, you let them know. If they're not, praise them. Like, thank you for going against
this.
Yeah,
thank you. Yes. My vote.
But the thing is, what they said specifically is like, when... when, like, this person was talking about how he would talk to other staffers and they're dealing with, and like, and you'd see them in the hallway, like, oh, you look like you're having a rough day. He's like, yeah, we had like 20 calls today. 20 calls is enough to put them on edge. So give them more calls.
Yeah. And today, so the
Kirsten Feldstein, is it? What's her name?
Well, I don't know the name, but like the two Republican senators who are voting against DeVos, or
yeah, okay, they're
like,
getting a lot.
The thing today is like they're getting thousands of calls, and that's what's turning those Republican senators against some of the Trump nominees.
Yeah, well, they know where their bread. They know where their butter is. Yeah. Where the butter is on their bread.
One thing I'm liking, actually, it's like we got a thing in Canada right now where our prime minister promised electoral reform and decided, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And now, because people are so worked up politically about how this shit works, I'm seeing at least online.
Yeah.
Well, what do we do about this? Oh, well, glad you asked. And here's how you contact your MP. And by the way, you don't need to put a stamp on it. And here's how you do it.
Yeah.
And so all these people I know have like been like taking, physically mailing their MPs. Mm. And, you know, I think it's woken people up a little bit to, you know, well, there
you
are.
You can make a difference. It sounds really cheesy. But
no, I saw this today, too, where there were several women organizing and saying, before we didn't think we were qualified to run for local office. Mm. But after seeing Trump, of course we are. So they're, it's getting people to participate.
I can put a sentence together. I can be in government.
I can hang up on the PM of Australia. How hard is that?
Yeah. So
you didn't hang up on him.
Yeah, no, I did hang up on him.
No, apparently
the Aussies are saying he didn't.
Yeah, the Aussies are saying he didn't. That ended amicably.
Oh, okay. Because the people who were in the room with Trump said he hung up on the Prime Minister of Australia. We will see. Yeah. But it got to be a very heated discussion.
But the thing that's
ended it with, like, I hope a dingo eats your baby, and which is very bad. They don't like that. They don't find that funny at all.
You say that at the beginning of the conversation.
That's don't mention
that. Right. You're a real fanny. It's like, well, I don't know if that's bad in Australia or not.
Things, you probably won't really know all the details until in like another 20, 30 years when they release the tapes. That has to be legally going on
until Anonymous does next week in the White House. Yeah.
But the problem is that today they announced that he turned off the tapes.
Yeah.
During his call with Putin, and that's completely wrong. I mean, it's like, this is, you can't do that. Mm. So it's like
the 15 minutes of silence.
The ghost of Nixon is going, well done. Yeah, no. Learn from my mistake.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Right now, I think the biggest, like, just personally is for me is, you know, you want to be involved. I'm a Democrat abroad. I vote. I'm an absentee voter, and so I'm sending my postcards, and I'm you know, trying to support my senators who, in Oregon, I think Ron Wayland is leading a thing against, I think it's DeVos or one of the main Trump things. He's like the leader of it. I'm like, yay, here's a postcard. but being so far away from it. It's hard to, like, I don't have a huddle other than
people. Yeah, you don't really know the local. It's hard to know the local issues. Yeah. You know, you're just seeing.
And also, I live in Canada. I want to be also engaged in Canadian politics. But it's been nice to, like, it's been a nice kind of response to the horror and dread of the Christmas season of, like, oh God, the world is going to end. Oh God, oh God.
It feels like it's weird to me when people mention politics, because it always feels like so beyond politics. Like people going to the airport, like lawyers going to the airport going, look, you need a lawyer. I'm here for you. I'll work for free. Here you go. That to me isn't politics. That's just being a human being. Yeah. Just going, what do you need? I need this.
But that's what I'm on the, it. That's what all the marches are. It's like, we can't sit by while this is happening. This is beyond politics. You're hurting us.
Yeah.
You're hurting
our that's friends. Why I almost like taking the word politics out of it. It's just like, what's being hurt? What do you need? Yeah. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, you go and do that. I went to, you know, the other night we went to a spontaneous vigil that happened for the shooting in Quebec.
Yeah.
And I felt so fucking awkward there. just because it, like, you know, it was so upsetting because I'm from Quebec.
Sure.
And, you know, and you just, it just hit really deep.
Yeah.
And then someone said they were having a vigil like a couple blocks away. Let's go. And then you guys decided to come too. And it was so nice. And we're all standing around. I'm just wanting to listen. And then everyone wants to group hug. And it's like, oh, no, I know this isn't about me, but this is so, no, let's all just hug each other.
Can we shake hands?
No, can we just
fist bump.
I know high-fiving isn't good either, but oh, boy, I'm not good at this bit. But it just felt like this is all kind of part of the same thing. It's just like you want to just go and be a person and just go, listen, we just want to show we're here.
Yeah.
You're not alone. We're here. Okay.
We're a community.
I'll fucking hug you. Here we go. And then, yeah.
Yeah, you were just, I'm here, I showed up, I'm my hands are full of candles, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I can't hug yeah. you, I don't want anyone to touch me, I'm just very upset.
But it reminds, but, it also reminds me of like what you do with, it's not farm to table, it's, what is it?
Garden to table.
Garden to table.
Yeah.
And just like, it's just stuff like that. It just feels like, you know, that's what people, it's just people being people and people just reaching out and just yeah. going, you're not alone, you're a person, I'm a yeah. person, yeah. we're people. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't, again, I like taking the politics out and just like, what do you need? What yeah. do you need health-wise? What do you need this? How can I help you yeah. to get this and have your rights not taken away? Because I want you to have at least as much as I have in all respects.
Yeah.
I don't want you to take my stuff, but I want you to have yeah, at least no, the yeah. equal opportunity to have, you know, what I have.
Also, I think a lot of people on the left, you know, they don't have that weekly community church thing. They don't have like weekly get-togethers with people who like they can then go like, well, let's do something. Now we're here, let's, you know, make a bunch of sweaters or feed the people. Or
you don't have quilting bees, damn it.
Yes.
We do. That's great. We do.
But yeah, we don't have that sense of community, and it's really
we have a lot
uplifting.
Of older women in the church, so that's a constant source of quilts and knitted blankets and shawls and all the rest of it. Yeah.
You should send them somewhere.
Oh, we do?
Oh, good.
Oh, they get blessed and sent out every week.
Well, that's what your mom's doing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, she makes hats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's got this...
It's like 40 hats a week.
Yeah, so she's got this incredible amount of, like, leftover yarn from when she used to make sweaters and yeah. kids' clothes. And she's just like, screw it, because she's not making anything for sale anymore, but the yarn is still there.
Yeah.
So she's just started, you know, she watches The Crown on a loop and then knits while she's watching various, you know... Crown related or, you know, the Queen, or she loves the monarchy. She'll just sit there and knit and watch the shows.
What Canadian doesn't? What true Canadian does not love the monarchy?
Yeah.
The Crown's amazing. I love that.
The Queen is amazing, too. I think it's an amazing movie.
So do you think that she should meet with Trump? Let's go with that.
No, the Queen should meet with Trump? No.
No.
No, because she's, that's not
she's
her, that's not her position.
Yeah.
That's not her position. Yeah, well, she fought against him in the war. She was in the motor pool. We all know that.
Yeah, she stuck around. She could have left. She didn't leave.
It's a state visit.
That's right.
But I think if they put it off, you know, the impeachment will come eventually. Like, she's just doing so much crap. You're just like,
she's needs to be protected from this shit. So that's basically it.
Yeah, just...
Yeah, you don't...
Have her catch a quote-unquote cold that week.
It's so kind of... It's it. Kind of... well, I guess when you... I guess there's that scene in The Crown where the... some
Crown
American,
spoilers, everybody.
The American ambassador is coming or something like that, and she has to put together some dinner and then it gets canceled.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is, I guess that's part of her role as the head of state.
Yeah,
but,
any state visit, because she's the head of the...
Well,
know, the,
then you know what? She does have to meet with Trump. And I'm not saying she has to like it.
Well, no,
you know, I'm sure she's met with people that are terrible.
She has to. I don't think she can do whatever she likes.
Oh, well,
I mean, she met
yes.
with Trudeau, and then it was very cute because, you know, she remembered
she
him as a boy.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. As a queen, you actually aren't required to do anything.
No,
that's the thing. You are the top. You have duty.
She's
but
big
you
on
can
duty,
go, fuck that duty if you want. Because you are the queen. That's the thing.
She entertains all officials. There's that classic story of her in the carriage with an African monarch, and they're parading through London, and then the horse has, you know, unfortunately the horse farts, and so she says to this monarch, I beg your pardon. He says, that's okay, your majesty, I thought it was the horse. It's a classic classic story, everyone. Yeah, but
and then to the queen, a penis. What? Happiness. What? Happiness. Oh, this silly French accent. She's fun.
Yeah,
I'm glad she's still around. Good for her.
Well, you know, there's Canadians who are like so virulently anti-monarchists, and
but
you're
it's
like
fun to be anti-monarchist.
That's also fun too. And you're like, you know, that's this. You're
it's
just
a big target.
You're playing out your part in this, whereas I'm like pro. You know,
I know rationally monarchism is just it's stupid, but she's so darn charming and she's done so much for her country. I mean, this is a woman who like gave her life to this job, like literally gave her life.
That's right. When you watch The Crown, you really appreciate what a sacrifice it was for her to.
So are they doing? They're doing more Crowns like throughout the years.
Yeah.
Now, are they going to end up with Helen Mirren? Because I can't see them getting getting an older queen and not using Helen Mirren, because she just wears
that would be
the
nice.
They're
going to
do six. The plan is they're going to do six seasons. Mm. Yay.
That's a lot of hats your mom's going to make.
Does it cover a decade per
season?
Okay.
A decade.
Okay.
So I don't know if they're just going to age everybody or mm-hmm. they're going to switch.
Yeah, you don't want to do that stupid age makeup for the whole thing.
No,
but
no.
But good for Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Good
I'm glad Matt Smith has a job. He just plays that so well. Yeah. You just realize what a dick that guy is.
Otherwise, he'd be doing the Doctor Who cons and stuff, and he wouldn't be happy.
Do you think he's a dick? I think the character is a dick.
Matt Smith's awesome.
I don't even think the character's a dick. I think he's a man who had definite plans in his life and had to completely, you know, alter the circumstances altered, and he just became a nothing.
Yeah.
You know, well, and I mean, that's hard for anyone to deal with.
It's an attack on your manhood, of course, but at the same time.
Well, you attack on your personhood. I mean, it doesn't have to be manhood.
But it's just, I mean, he's acting like it's about his manhood. And, it's and there's a point that's like, look how much your wife is sacrificing.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking chill.
Yeah, but like.
I mean, it's an honest representation, too, I suppose.
I don't think.
Interesting.
Like, there's a lovely balance between, like, them doing all these glamorous things and beautiful, you know, oh, let's fight the Nazis. And then they'll just, like, you know, someone will make some comment about darkies and you're like, oh, yeah, they're horrible.
It's at the time. You can't really judge people. By the way, your grandparents said things like that, too.
You don't expect people at the center
last
of...
Last week.
That's not what the candy's called anymore, Grandpa.
You know,
it's not called that.
I've talked about chronological chauvinism in the past, so I won't go on about it.
That's a very Doctor Who thing.
Can I just... Just before we move entirely away from Trump, it is interesting right now that the press is spending a lot of time attacking him, truthing him all the time. And you feel like, why is this happening now?
I know.
Why wasn't this happening during the election?
Because they made money off him.
Yeah.
They thought it was a joke. Everybody thought it was a joke.
Yeah, I guess. But.
Yeah, because before, the argument against, well, like, he can't ban all... He's like, oh, well, he's just saying that he's not going to... Like, you had this wall of apologists who were like, oh, this is what he really means. And now he's actually... affecting change, not just running his mouth about stuff to they're like, oh, he's just, you know, getting his base riled up, or, you know, he doesn't really mean that or this. And, you know, there's so much just explaining and apologizing for what he said on the campaign trail, but none of it had any effect.
Yeah.
Now it's actually ruining people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can actually, you have something physical, like a document or a law or a proposal to fact check. Before it was barely a sentence. Like, it was so vague half the shit he said that you're like, yeah, I guess you might be blowing this out of proportion, or you might be, you know, not, you know, that's probably not what he meant.
Yeah, I don't know what he meant.
But also, what does it matter? Because obviously Hillary's going to win. That's how everyone
And it's just a joke.
Weekend, it's like, so there's an inauguration day. Okay, there you go. And the day before, Three Doors Down plays, and that's the piano guys. All right, that's kind of sad. Whatever, fuck. Then the next day, inauguration. It's fine. It rained. Later, he said it didn't rain, but it did rain. It was a weird lie. We also had rain. Fucking whatever. Next day, you guys rule the world. They don't know how to handle it. There's no real comment about it. He slams it a little bit, but then pulls it back and goes, it's all right. But then the next day, that's when you get the Kellyanne going on and doing the alternative fact bit.
Mm.
And then the next day, Spicer goes on and just like is bullshitting completely about how the crowd size was bigger than it was and not taking anything from the press. They can't ignore it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You've explained what a lie is. You've made up a word that means lie and said this is what we're doing. And then the next day, blatantly lied to people with pictures they can see with their own fucking eyes.
What's gotten them now is because Trump's presser, when he basically told CNN, "You're fake news, shut up, sit down," kind of thing. It's like that's what woke the reporters up. It's like, oh, this is gonna threaten not only our live, like our readership. It's also gonna affect our jobs. We all like coming to work at the White House, and now this is gonna.
Well, you also gotta pretend. Sorry that I'm using a testicle term, but you gotta pretend you've got balls.
Yeah.
And when a guy is just like immediately going, "Yeah, you're my bitch, you bitch, shut up, bitch, you know, you're faking, bitch, you know, okay, anyway." So anyway, back to questions. Well, they can't take that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're just in the prison yard. A guy just smacked you down. What do you got to do? You got to get up and you got to smack him back. Yeah. Otherwise, you've lost it forever.
Yeah.
Wow. And so you back this
guy. I would do terrible in a prison yard.
Mm-hmm. Well, podcasts are kind of the modern prison yard.
Oh, well, no wonder I'm terrible at this stuff.
So when you're going like, why is the press doing it now? Well, they should have done it before. But again, he was their cash cow then. So anytime he's on, they're making money.
Mm.
But like now, he's given them no damn choice.
Yeah.
If they went, well, maybe he's got a point. You know, and they still do occasionally on like CNN where they have that six people and like half of them are literally paid to just take Trump's side no matter what. Yeah. And they're just
That's really disappointing. Yeah, I mean, I know they want to try they want to do the fair and balancing, but paying Trumpers to sit there and talk them.
Oh, that was bullshit. Yeah.
That really bothers me. That Jeffrey Lord guy is a fucking idiot. And I just like, go back to telling news. Just be news. Just be news.
Yeah. The problem is that it puts, it's kind of like arguing with, well, for me to argue with an atheist, you know, like a guy who's like, you know, knows the Bible more than me and is able to quote things and stuff. And where you're just like, I can't defend this because I, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm not like a super Christian. I don't know everything. So I can't fight someone who's like trained himself to argue against me.
Yeah. And it's the same when people are paid and
they know when to pivot.
They don't argue. Mm-hmm. They pivot, and now we've seen the pivot as the move.
Yeah.
And if people don't call the pivot, you're like, well, what the fuck is this? There's nothing.
But I mean, even when you're, you know, like, so I still have Facebook acquaintances who, you know, they're posting InfoWars or they're posting Breitbart stuff still, which is weird to me. Like, you think you'd, at this point you'd be like, wait, this is what I wanted? Is this what I've, you know, is this what I? They're a Canadian, so they didn't vote for Trump. So is this what I cheered for? Is this horror show? But yeah, they're posting this stuff. And, you know, so for instance, they're posting Obama also had travel bans against Syria and Iraq, blah, blah, blah. Two of those countries. But yes, but the article lists a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
So now the onus is on you as a person who disagrees to go and find out that information and then to present the truth. And
it won't even matter to them.
That's the thing. It won't even matter. The only person you're telling that to are people who already agree with you.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, right on, this is bad. And this person's going to say, you libbers, you, or whatever. You know, I just don't want to get into it. Sure, in my heart of hearts, I feel like, oh, I'll just block this person. I don't have to, you know anything that they're thinking ever again. And then they're going to be like, well, whatever. Like, if this is what makes them happy, the idea of Kevin O'Leary as the Prime Minister of Canada. Ugh. Oh, brother. Yeah,
also,
but
you want to kind of stay informed about what people who aren't in your little bubble of friends and like-minded people are saying and thinking.
Did you say you don't want to stay in your bubble?
You don't want to stay in that bubble.
Yeah,
you
that's want, right. Yeah, want, I want. I want this.
You want those. Even they're weird. Even if they're weird views.
Yeah, they're not like violent or dangerous. Yeah.
Some idiot is. And also, you can be like, you know, oh, he said something really bad. Let me just figure out what to do about that.
Yeah, and he said something that was dangerous. Let me report that, and then we're gonna like take care of that. Well, what I always feel with these discussions that I get into is that I'm never gonna convince that guy.
But these really constructive.
I'm not gonna convince that person, but these points. You know, are going, other people are going to read them and it will counter it for them. These are the casual readers who aren't posting, but are just going, oh, so Obama did that. Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, okay. He didn't do that. Yeah. How about this? No, he didn't do that. Okay.
Yeah.
And if I can do it in a jokey way that like grabs them and now they will remember the joke version of it, then I think, you know, that feels all right.
You hope for that.
And going full circle. I think that's what images and good cartoons and good satire. Like either jokes, nice. Satire, posters,
they
cartoons.
They get you on a different level.
They get a large kind of complicated point, and that's what comedy and satire is when it's at its best.
It's usually a big idea that's
drained down to something very communicable.
Yeah, it makes it art. Yeah,
like
a
disease.
I try to do it in joke form as best I can, which is like, let me try and take this thing that's a real thing right now and take either a fictional thing that compare it to or something in the past and link it together in a way that like gives you a fresh perspective on it. I try never to just go, that's stupid, you're dumb. Hey, dumb, dumb, from dumb town, why aren't you dumb? Except occasionally I will tell a guy to fuck off and then I'll go on for a long thing about, why aren't you fucking off? Apparently you're not fucking off. I seem to remember it's telling you to fuck off and you haven't fucked off. Okay, are you not getting these fuck off messages?
I find animated GIFs work really well for that.
I saw that. I saw that little string.
I just want to check the time because we have
it's 7:30.
Yeah, 7:30. So we got about 15 more minutes of good, clean fun. It was an interesting thing. Patton Oswalt had a big Twitter thing the other day, where he went after a real estate agent who was Here's basically what he said. Mm-hmm. Was he was going, whenever he tweets something negative about Trump and the government and complains about something, he gets the, here's a cup for your liberal tears, mm, and wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
But when, and that's all it is.
Yeah.
But whenever he tweets something, just like, oh man, those women went marching and it was fantastic and it was positive, that's when the really cruel shit comes out.
Yeah.
And the really mean things come out.
Okay.
And in this one example, it was a real estate agent who started posting some really mean things. And then at one point, you know, and so Patton was just smacking him back like you do. You just little backhands.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said that he was channeling Patton's dead wife because he was a psychic. And this was her saying that. Well, then, of course, you know, this means war. Gloves hit the ground.
Yeah.
And he realized he was a real estate agent, so he went through every one of his listings and made fun of them and just tore the guy a new ass, and the guy ended up getting fired and blah, blah, blah. Wow. And yeah, you know, you don't make fun of a guy. And people started, who came in halfway through, were like, wait a second, this is a little too mean, isn't it? Yeah, he said this about my wife. Carry on as you were. Yeah. If you need any assistance, I'm very happy to help you.
Yeah.
But I found that interesting.
Do you need just another tankard of gasoline and some matches? Yeah. There you go.
What do they make fun of you for? It's a kind of a bully thing. It's like, if you're showing weakness, they're going to go, what are you crying, crybaby?
Yeah.
But if you're showing joy and support, that puts them really off and makes them mad.
Because they know that's the only thing that they can't fight.
Yeah.
Because that's how a bully depends on support to rally around him while he beats on somebody else.
Whereas the march, and I think with you guys at the march, they didn't respond to it really at all.
Yeah.
Like they've never...
They don't know what to do with that.
They have no fucking clue where to put that.
Yeah.
Because it was so positive and good and there's no negative aspect to it besides, hey, there were vaginas on their head. Those weren't vaginas on your head.
Those were pussy hats.
I know they said
ears.
Pussy hats, but you could see that they're cat hats. Yeah. You didn't get the joke. Good.
Well, like most of the coverage I saw from like the right wing media afterwards was just them going, you know, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. I don't know what they're trying
to do. They're trying to do
that. Then ask them.
Yeah.
Specifically ask them.
No, but they're trying to fake it. They're like, oh, I don't get it. I don't get what they're trying to say. And they know they do get it.
That was the only response like the general response from like Fox and some of the CNN guys were just like, why are they even doing this?
Yeah. And you're like, because they had nothing to counter it.
Yeah, it's hard.
And it's the same thing with like the lawyers going to the airport. I keep coming to that because it was so fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, you can't say opportunistic look. No, you're just like, no, that was sincere. People doing good things can't say nothing. Yeah. Duh. Me go shut up in corner now. Yeah.
What?
But it's going nicely.
What was worse? As malevolent and evil and tragic and cruel as the Muslim ban was, is that worse than Bannon being put into the NSC? Removing two generals, removing two voices, I assume, of some moderation, and putting him into... It feels like that was like the sneaky move that kind of was happening behind the scenes while everyone was getting mad about something.
It's not a distraction. I don't even want to think about it. Bannon actually has this agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's coming next is he's going to do the same thing for Latinos.
Okay.
He's going to do this for Mexicans. You're going to see it at airports. It's going to be again. I'm going to have trouble getting across the border because of my name.
Yeah.
And because they don't have...
Well, it means war.
Yeah, well...
That's the problem.
But it's Hispanic. And it's... I mean, I've had trouble already like in the past for minor things and, you know, where TSA tried to...
take it to the crying room?
Tried to convince me that I wasn't legit as a citizen, and like it's right there on the passport. So it's gonna get worse. This is all part of his plan, mm-hmm. and he has a very clear agenda to wreck shit.
Yeah.
And so a lot of what that has to do with is just throwing everything at you at once, and hopefully like they're counting on resistance fatigue. Mm-hmm. They're counting on everyone tired of it and let it pass. But it's not going to.
Yeah.
Because we're already seeing that, you know.
Well, that was what was so great about the reaction to the Muslim ban. Was just the fact that people obviously aren't taking this lying down.
Yeah.
You know, they're reacting.
They're reacting in a positive way.
They're reacting in a positive way.
The idea of just, you know, a bunch of people in a city the Muslim man comes up, and yeah. they're just so mad. They're like, what? I got to get up, and what? I'm going to go to the airport.
Yeah.
Just going to go to the airport.
No one's saying we're organizing this. It's just like, fuck this.
And it's not just...
so mad, you got to get up off the couch and do something.
And it's not just a bunch of...
That's mad.
Yeah, and it's not just a bunch of troublemakers showing up somewhere. There's airport workers who are part of it. There's lawyers coming.
Because we're tired of
it. It's a community of people who are coming and reacting to this, and that's fantastic.
I think what helps is knowing that this is a Nazi plot. This is literally out of the Nazi mm-hmm. playbook mm-hmm. on how to, you know, like how to take control by scapegoating small groups.
Yeah.
The thing is, what we've learned a lot from this. Maybe a lot of people who voted for Trump didn't get that memo, but a lot of us did learn a lot from studying World War II, World War I, and how these regimes work. You see it in Chile, you saw it in Africa, you see it in all these different places, mm-hmm. and how they work. And
strongman politics. It is sort of African, isn't
it? But a lot of it depends on the culture of scapegoating.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't recommend more than enough, if anyone wants to check it out, just go on YouTube. There is a series of videos called Art in the Third Reich. And it's about 10, like, 20-minute videos.
It's too long.
I know. But just watch
a couple of those up.
Boil it down
is that it follows how the system works. It didn't all just start with Hitler coming to power.
No, that's right.
It was 10 years mm-hmm. beforehand, and it all starts with things like political cartoons making fun of Jews. Mm. All that prevalence of, like, this narrative saying that, oh, Jews are evil, Jews are doing this, and they're this backs us
Muslims
up.
Are evil, Muslims do this,
exactly.
Muslims do that.
We're seeing that now. Thing is, if there were people who could recognize what that was 10 years beforehand and nipped it then, you wouldn't have had Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we've learned from that, and what we're doing right now is we're seeing our friends, who we're seeing Muslims getting targeted, and we're saying no, we're stopping this right now, we're mm-hmm. not letting this go further, and that's what we have to do. And that, like, and but the thing is, Bannon doesn't get that. He thinks that the playbook still works, but we know what the play is
because it has so far for him, but it only goes so far, and then when people say no, then
but he's never had this much power before, so he thinks he can just jump in there and run the book, but it doesn't work. Because we're saying
it didn't work for them either in the long run.
No, but it took a lot more energy to stop that ball from rolling. You get it when it's early, and it's a much easier to let go. Because he's not, it delegitimizes their plan.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be swayed like that.
Because let's keep humanizing.
Yeah, because we promised ourselves that we weren't going to mm-hmm. be the good Germans.
Yeah.
We were going to stop this if we ever saw it again. And here it is. We know what's happening. It's step by step. Stop it at step two.
Yeah. It's important.
It's nice that he is, every time he goes up to speak, it's like grandpa making a speech at dinner, and you're like, maybe this time grandpa will just get it right. And like, grandpa has to go off book every fucking time. You know, it's like, grandpa, you're in front of the wall of heroes at the CIA. Well, how about my crowd size? It's like, well, okay, well, grandpa will get it eventually. And then today, it's, you know, the actual prayer, breakfast, he's there. And he's complaining about Arnold Schwarzenegger's ratings.
Yeah.
At the fucking...
Or the Black History Month speech was a disaster.
Oh, the Black History
speech. Jews mentioned in the Holocaust.
It's just like every fucking day. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh my... And when you're saying there's some people that are still on his side, well, maybe they've got regular lives and they don't check it every day because it's been less than 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But if you're checking it every day, it's just like, oh my gosh. Can't put four sentences together without foot... like beyond in mouth, through back of head, kicking himself in the ass with his own foot that just went through.
Also, there's a lot of people who, you know, all busy lives and they just watch Fox News.
Yeah.
Or they just watch Fox News all day because they're told everything
sports.
Else is a lie. You know,
they don't even watch the news.
Or they don't watch the news at all. They have
they
have a select YouTube
media.
World they live in or whatever.
Or they've got to take care of grandma.
Yeah.
And they've got real shit to do in their lives. Yeah. And they can't check on this.
And she
stuff.
Keeps talking all this shit and it influences
them.
They don't know.
I remember, too, is like when Palin and McCain were up, one of the biggest turned it around for Obama was that there was a concerted effort before Thanksgiving to get everyone who was going to Florida because they're going for Thanksgiving to see their parents to talk to their parents to get them to get all that misinformation crap out of them and talk to them and like, no, this is what's going on. But there wasn't that effort this time around, and there really should have been. Mm. And I think also it didn't help that the fact that the election was 2 weeks after Thanksgiving as opposed to 1 week. So it's like, you want to have these conversations fresh in your mind before you go into the voting booth. And I think that had a big thing. So now we have to do it again. We have to like make a program, especially for the midterms, to go, look, go talk to your parents, get that crap out of their head, because this is not helping anybody.
Yeah.
Let them know what's really happening and what's really at stake.
And in the meantime, just be good to each other as much as possible. And if people need stuff,
help them.
Yeah.
Help them out. Yeah.
Local, regional, I think, well, that's the key. Of course, the president is terrible, but the fact that he has this power base of Republicans isn't helping. So if, you know, at regional and local levels, Democrats or liberals can work to unseat Republican Congress people and senators, then...
Yeah,
you know,
and it gives
the day after the election, there was already, you know, a concerted effort to like, okay, let's organize for the midterm elections.
Yeah, that's more important.
And
that's
the most important thing I think you can do is retweet editorial cartoons that you like. So you should go to @PiaGuerra on Twitter, @PiaGuerra. Yeah. And when you see her cartoons every day, retweet them.
Yeah.
Make sure you retweet them and send them to your celebrity friends. Celebrities are better than us, and they can get the message out.
They know so much. Oh,
I'm in a cop car.
Oh, going away.
Oh, anyway.
No, if it was a police car, you could do the old hack thing of like, there's my ride, it's time to go. All right, now that I'm listing email addresses and Twitters, that is where you see Pia for the most part, is @PiaGuerra on Twitter. You got your book in stores still, Why the Last Man.
Yeah.
Plague or something gets rid of all the men on Earth except for one guy, a monkey. And he's got to get to Australia to see his girlfriend. Does that sound good? Well, it is. Stephen King's favorite graphic novel. And he knows. Going to be a TV show maybe soon. Hopefully. That would be nice. We got Vicky Van. She's here. Where can people reach you, Vicky?
I'm at @ShutUpNerd on Twitter.
And if they want to see your videos, they can go to...
YouTube with Vicky Van _01. If you look up Kingsgate Mall, then you'll get... Kingsgate Mall tribute will get you to
me. Right, you'll get Kingsgate Mall. It's a tribute to a local mall. Yeah. I'm singing a song Vicky put up, and you'll see.
We've talked about that
before. I know, but you're back on the show again. You got to keep hitting the... Listen, what did we just say about you got to stay on message?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay on damn message.
Stay on message.
If you want to tweet Sneaky Dragon, that is Sneaky _Dragon. That is @Sneaky_Dragon. If you want to go to our main webpage and talk to us, we'd love to hear from you. That's SneakyDragon.com. It's there.
Yep.
To email, it is sneakyd. Woo! That's right. It's a sexy siren. That is sneakyd @sneakydragon.com. Sneakyd @sneakydragon.com. And Tumblr, sneakydragon.tumblr.com. Is that it? Facebook as well, but you probably knew that. Everyone
I did. Okay. I knew all about it.
Yeah.
And I'm an expert on this stuff.
Why not go on all those things? And hey, if you're on, say, iTunes and you're like, yeah, I feel like rating something, go and rate our show or maybe give us a little review maybe. And that helps people to find our show. And we appreciate that.
Yeah.
So that's always a treat. So we have paid off the debt that we promised our listeners 2 weeks ago of saying having these nice folks on the show.
Yep.
We've done it. So that feels good. That's a weight off my chest.
So
that's right.
We were so sick last week.
Yeah, whatever.
Caught some like
made us look really bad.
Super woke kid. Just
we looked terrible.
Went and coughed all over us, and
we went to the Smithsonian, got all that disease off Abe Lincoln's hat.
Yeah.
Went to the Space Museum, and they got some space virus that came down on the Apollo.
Part of the ceiling fell down while we were there. It was pretty splooshy.
There was a big storm, and the glass ceiling was leaking, and it got onto the asbestos. I don't know if they're asbestos tiles.
So you guys, the ceiling tiles. You guys are breaking the glass ceiling.
I doubt they're asbestos.
You've actually broken the glass ceiling.
It broke the ceiling tile ceiling.
Oh, gosh, don't you get it?
Hanging,
don't you get the fucking metaphor?
Under the
don't you chicks get metaphors?
We've chipped away at the ceiling. It's not broken yet.
Oh, I tried. I tried. You know what? I'm going to make a cartoon about it.
Okay.
And then I'm going to retweet it, and we're going to see how that goes.
There is a Spark song that says chicks dig metaphors. So, there you go.
Thank you so much for listening. I've been Ian.
I've been David.
And
draw cartoons.
Yeah, do some art and go out and be nice to people. Resist.
And use like watercolor resist if you're going to do watercolor because it really helps with definition.
Oh, technical art terms. Holy shit.
Let's end with wordplay.
Revolution.
A metaphor is a glorious thing. A diamond ring. The first day of summer. A metaphor is a breath of fresh air. A turn on. An aphrodisiac. Chicks. Dig, dig. D-I-G. Dig, dig. Metaphors. Chicks. Dig, dig. D-I-G. Dig, dig. Metaphors. Chicks, dig, dig, D-I-G, dig, dig, metaphors. Use them wisely, use them well, and you'll never know the hell of loneliness. A metaphor is a popular place, a parking space, a multiplex showing a remake whose action is louder than words. She whispers, can we be going, going, chicks? D-I-G, dig, dig, metaphors. Chicks, dig, dig, D-I-G, dig, dig, metaphors. Chicks, dig, dig, D-I-G, dig, dig, metaphors. Use them wisely, use them well, and you'll never know the hell of loneliness. Who's up for a metaphor? We're up for a metaphor. A metaphor is a breath of fresh air. Chicks.